you will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
To the downside of venture capital.
Well, I guarantee if you don't sweat the small things, the big things are going to become a mess.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
Don't want to wait until you jump off the cliff to grab a parachute.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host.
Well, hello and welcome again to another episode of the Tough Things First podcast, a weekly dive into management, leadership, and a bit of Silicon Valley as well. I'm your host this week, Guy Smith, and I'm going to dive into a topic here that I personally find fascinating. This may not have happened before in our society, but we're at a point where we have four different generations active in the workforce right now. The baby boomers, Generation X, the millennials, and Generation Z is just now entering the workforce. And in Silicon Valley, we've got an eclectic mix of young Turks and gray beards. So Silicon Valley is a good place to kind of think about how you lead such radically different people. And who better to ask than the longest serving CEO in Silicon Valley? That's, of course, Mr. Ray Zinn. And how are you today, Ray?
Well, good, Guy. I'm trying to get over a cold, but we're managing our way through it. This is an interesting topic that you've got today. And so let's kind of dive right into it.
Yeah, I'm really fascinated by this because from a leadership standpoint, from an organizational policy standpoint, there are a lot of different parts of the fabric that are tugging against each other. So let's start with the extremes. The baby boomers are on one end, and we'll stop with the millennials at the other end for the time being. For me, contrast the motivational differences you see between boomers and millennials. What is it that they respond to differently in an organizational setting?
Well, one advantage that I have, of course, is that I've been able to span at least three of those generations. And I don't know if you'd consider me a baby boomer, but I did come out of the Second World War where I was just a youth. And my grandparents, you know, which would be, you know, in the pre-First World War, they had a different environment they were in. They horse and buggy was still the fare, as you would. Cars were just coming into being. The way people traveled, the way they moved together as families, and it was entirely different than it was for me when I grew up. I grew up basically, our families were all kind of together, and we didn't move anywhere. I mean, we stayed in the same spot. And so our cultural differences were minimal, and there wasn't the huge immigration issue that that we face today with a more diverse society. So each generation does experience different cultural changes, and I think that's the biggest difference. And recognizing those cultural changes and differences is key to running a successful workforce. And my tenure at Micrel, which I started in 1978, you know, I actually had, 17-year-olds working for us at the time. And then by the time I sold the company, they actually were grandparents. So it was kind of interesting to see this whole span of people going from, you know, basically high schoolers to being grandparents.
Well, let's talk about the baby boomers vis-a-vis the millennials for a second. I just finished reading P.J. O'Rourke's book about the baby boomer generation, and he made the observation that the boomers started by saying they weren't going to obey any rules and then immediately became their parents. So that generation, you know, held on to a bit of the previous generation's work ethic, raising the family, keeping a steady job. Those were centrally important. The millennials tend to have some other attitudes towards corporations, especially the way the corporation presents themselves ethically in public. What other contrast are you seeing between these two groups? How do they differ?
Well, if you just mentioned it, I mean, there's a difference in the way they view their job, the way they view their work environment. You know, so if you go back to the 60s, you know, which we had the free love and, the experimentation with LSD and all that sort of thing, you know, that hippie era, you know, people were carefree and, you know, they were just more interested in experimenting. And so the baby boomers, as you call them, were influenced by all of this, you know, hippie environment that we had back in the late 50s and 60s. So the millennials when they came about, their huge influx, especially in Silicon Valley, of immigrants, and so the workplace began to change a lot with the immigration from Vietnam and from the Philippines and some of the other and China, some of the Asian countries had a big influence on millennials and the way they viewed their responsibilities in the workplace. So I think it's really the generational differences because of the environment that has changed so much is what's caused the differences in the way they view their work environment.
Well, and these attitudes directly affect the way they view the corporation, the way they view their teammates. And so here's the part which I'm having trouble with, having been in management roles myself, and that's how do you effectively lead a team that could potentially have people on it that have 40 years of difference in their lifespan? People who were born when Elvis was still not quite yet the king of rock and roll, to kids today who have never owned a CD and have always streamed music directly to their devices. That's a large gap of ages. How do you form a cohesive team? How do you manage such diversity on a day-to-day basis?
Well, at Micrel, you know, we had people who were in their 70s still working because people are working longer now than they did in the past. In other words, they're not retiring as early. And we had some that were in at the company that were, you know, 17, 18 years old. So these were like grandparents to these other employees. So I think the millennials tend to be less respectful of age. In other words, they didn't care whether you were two generations ahead of them or grandparent age or not. And so, again, they didn't grow up in the same environment. They didn't have floppy disks and that sort of thing. You know, they weren't around to see the rapid changes in technology that the older folks had seen. To get them to work together, we had to really get them to understand each other and where they were, where these differences amounted to. So I don't know that we could put a finger on say, okay, what should we do different in the way we manage them other than to recognize that you might have your like grandchildren working for you as opposed to just your peers because people are older in the workplace. And they don't see things the same way that you do, speaking now to those who are millennials. So like in all things, we have to learn to get along and to understand where each other are coming from so that we don't step on toes and actually disturb the relationships that are so important to keep the company running smoothly.
Is creating that meeting of the minds, that cross-cultural exposure in education, something that frontline managers need to be working on at a hands-on level?
Well, I mean, the millennials have to learn to get along with the older people too. In other words, they have to learn to accept the fact that the baby boomers or the older group are not as socially active. In other words, they may not understand when you're talking about Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and Messenger. To them, they barely know how to operate a computer. And so, you know, we have to make sure we understand each other's language and what we're interested in. So I think, again, the point is getting along means you have to accept the differences and where each other has a work experience. So the older generation are willing to put in longer hours, whereas the younger ones are not. I mean, they're not used to putting in the 10, 12, 15 hour days. So we just have to accept the fact that there are going to be differences and then work with those differences.
Well, and given that the millennial generation, one of their themes is inclusiveness, them being inclusive of the older workers in the workforce seems like a natural point of education on them. I tell you what, let's be a little bit speculative here. The next generation, Generation Z, these are people who were born starting in the mid-1990s, when practically, every household already had an internet connection. They have a much different view of the world than even the millennials had. And they make up 25% of the population, and they're just now really entering the workforce. What should we be thinking about in terms of leading and managing this new born in the internet world generation?
Well, it's going to be less differences between that Generation Z and the millennials, because the technology is very similar to what the millennials grew up with. And so you'll see less differences in the way they view social responsibility and just the whole environment of the internet and social media and actually how to execute on a business plan. The older generation, of course, are focused on just the nuts and bolts of running the company, whereas the younger generations, like even this millennials and Generation Z, are going to be focused on how do we use this tremendous horsepower that we have with these super speed computers and the internet. Things are going faster and faster and faster, and artificial intelligence, the robotics and so forth, where these younger people are really going to be faced with an entire different responsibility. If you think about the studies say that within the next 15, 20 years, there may be as many as 40% of the population of the world that won't be working because of just having the robotics do it. Whether it be a robotic vacuum cleaner or, some other form of medical roboticism. And so the techniques that we use today will not be used in 20, 30 years from now.
Well, that's a good point. And I think there's going to be a mega shift in terms of people's attitudes towards work when so much of the routine work gets replaced and people have to rethink how they are contributing to the workforce.
The real differences are going to get less and less between the newer generation and just between the older generation. The older generation saw a much more rapid technological change than the Generation Z and the millennials have seen or will see. So we need to bear that in mind as we go forward. I know some of these companies aren't even hiring individuals over 45. In fact, I had a friend that was applying at a local high-tech company. You don't have to put your age down on your application, but you can't hide how you look. And so, when he went in there, and he has a very good resume, he's a very competent and highly educated software engineer. They took one look at him, and the interview lasted about 5 minutes. And he'd heard, indirectly that they just aren't hiring anybody over 45. This friend of mine is 63. So they want the groups to be more of the same clan, as you would, of the same educational and social background, than to have these huge differences between the, those that are in their 60s and 70s and others in their 20s. So I think the reason some of these companies are, even though legally they can't do that, that's they are limiting the workforce to being younger.
Well, and I suspect that they're shooting themselves in the foot by doing so. There's an essential quality to age, experience, and wisdom. And if you don't have that in your organization, you are doomed to repeat the mistakes of the past.
Yeah,
my father, he was a satellite engineer, and he ended up going back to work for the company he worked for as a young man, as kind of a senior scientist. And his entire job for about 10 years before he finally retired was he would sit and wait for a young engineer to come in and say, "Oh, I've got this great idea. Why don't we try it this way?" And my dad would smile and turn to him and go, "Well, when we tried that back in 1971, this is what happened." Yeah, and he probably saved his companies millions of dollars in just not repeating the same mistake over again.
There's some value, by the way, Guy, in having this diversity. We culturally have a lot of diversity, but we need the diversity in age also in order to have a well-rounded company, is my belief. And those companies that are limiting the age levels to the younger generation, as you have said, I think are making a mistake.
Speaking of this whole age difference thing, one thing I want to point out to the audience, Ray's second book, The Zen of Zen, I believe is a good management leadership reading book. And one of the reasons is that in that book, Ray dives in quite a bit into the interactions between people, businesses, society. These are, the cross-sectional perspectives that the millennial generation is holding on to. And so Zen of Zen, after, of course, you finish reading Ray's first book, Tough Things First, I think it's going to be required reading for any of the entrepreneurs out there, because it's going to give you that rather holistic view of how you integrate all these different components together in a way that makes sense for you, for your business, and most importantly, for your employees, because they're the ones who are helping you create value in the world. So, Ray, thank you very much. Very insightful as always. And with your guidance and insight, I have a lot of hope for the next generation of entrepreneurs as they try to tackle these 40-year spans of ages in their companies. Well, thanks again, Ray. Insightful as always. I appreciate your time. And for the audience, tune in again next week for the next episode of Tough Things First.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.